May 28th. Our reading today in the Old Testament will be from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 39. Well, we'll see as we read here that David now begins to reap the harvest of sowing to the flesh, the painful consequences of forgiven sin. Of all the trials of life, the most difficult to bear are those that come from our own family because of our failures. So possessed was he by lust that Amnon made arrangements to sin. He knew that he was breaking God's law by violating a virgin whom he could not wed. Lust was replaced by hatred. It's amazing how that can turn on you in that fashion. Lust being replaced by hatred. Both of those are born of violence. And hatred resulted in Tamar's being ostracized in Israel. David's anger may have been restrained by his conscience, for he did nothing to punish Amnon. Absalom, his other son, plotted, waited, and then avenged his sister by killing Amnon. Now David has now lost two sons to death and one to exile, and the situation will grow worse. The next time sin looks attractive to you, please do yourself a favor and remember David's trials. And now with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. May 28th, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 39. David's son, Absalom, had a beautiful sister named Tamar, and Amnon, her half-brother, fell desperately in love with her. Amnon became so obsessed with Tamar that he became ill. She was a virgin, and it seemed impossible that he could ever fulfill his love for her. Now Amnon had a very crafty friend, his cousin Jonadab. He was the son of David's brother Shimeah. One day Jonadab said to Amnon, "What's the trouble? Why should the son of a king look so dejected morning after morning?" So Amnon told him, "I am in love with Tamar, Absalom's sister." "Well," Jonadab said, "I'll tell you what to do. Go back to bed and pretend you are sick. When your father comes to see you, ask him to let Tamar come and prepare some food for you. Tell him you'll feel better if she feeds you." So Amnon pretended to be sick, and when the king came to see him, Amnon asked him, "Please let Tamar come to take care of me and cook something for me to eat." So David agreed and sent Tamar to Amnon's house to prepare some food for him. When Tamar arrived at Amnon's house, she went to the room where he was lying down so he could watch her mix some dough. Then she baked some special bread for him. But when she set the serving tray before him, he refused to eat. "Everyone get out of here," Amnon told his servants. So they all left. Then he said to Tamar, "Now bring the food into my bedroom and feed it to me here." So Tamar took it to him. But as she was feeding him, he grabbed her and demanded, "Come to bed with me, my darling sister." "No, my brother," she cried. "Don't be foolish. Don't do this to me. You know what a serious crime it is to do such a thing in Israel. Where could I go in my shame? And you would be called one of the greatest fools in Israel. Please, just speak to the king about it, and he will let you marry me." But Amnon wouldn't listen to her, and since he was stronger than she was, he raped her. Then suddenly Amnon's love turned to hate, and he hated her even more than he had loved her. "Get out of here," he snarled at her. "No, no," Tamar cried. "To reject me now is a greater wrong than what you have already done to me." But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. He shouted for his servant and demanded, "Throw this woman out and lock the door behind her." So the servant put her out. She was wearing a long, beautiful robe, as was the custom in those days for the king's virgin daughters. But now Tamar tore her robe and put ashes on her head. And then, with her face in her hands, she went away crying. Her brother Absalom saw her and asked, "Is it true that Amnon has been with you?" "Well, don't be so upset. Since he's your brother anyway, don't worry about it." So Tamar lived as a desolate woman in Absalom's house. When King David heard what had happened, he was very angry. And though Absalom never spoke to Amnon about it, he hated Amnon deeply because of what he had done to his sister. 2 years later, when Absalom's sheep were being sheared at Baal Hazor near Ephraim, Absalom invited all the king's sons to come to a feast. He went to the king and said, "My sheep shearers are now at work. Would the king and his servant please come to celebrate the occasion with me?" The king replied, "No, my son, if we all came, we would be too much of a burden on you." Absalom pressed him, but the king wouldn't come, though he sent his thanks. "Well then," Absalom said, "if you can't come, how about sending my brother Amnon instead?" "Why Amnon?" the king asked. But Absalom kept on pressing the king until he finally agreed to let all his sons attend, including Amnon. Absalom told his men, "Wait until Amnon gets drunk. Then, at my signal, kill him. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who has given the command. Take courage and do it." So, at Absalom's signal, they murdered Amnon. Then the other sons of the king jumped on their mules and fled. As they were on the way back to Jerusalem, this report reached David. "Absalom has killed all your sons. Not one is left alive." The king jumped up, tore his robe, and fell prostrate on the ground. His advisors also tore their clothes in horror and sorrow. But just then, Jonadab, the son of David's brother Shimeah, arrived and said, "No, not all your sons have been killed. It was only Amnon. Absalom has been plotting this ever since Amnon raped his sister Tamar. No, your sons aren't all dead. It was only Amnon." Meanwhile, Absalom escaped. Then the watchman on the Jerusalem wall saw a great crowd coming toward the city from the west. He ran to tell the king, "I see a crowd of people coming from the Horonaim road, along the side of the hill." "Look," Jonadab told the king, "there they are now. Your sons are coming just as I said." They soon arrived, weeping and sobbing, and the king and his officials wept bitterly with them. And David mourned many days for his son Amnon. Absalom fled to his grandfather, Talmai, son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. He stayed there in Geshur for 3 years. And David, now reconciled to Amnon's death, longed to be reunited with his son Absalom. May 28th. And now on to the New Testament. Today's reading will take place from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. John 17. Now in this, his high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed for himself, his disciples, and all of his church. The prayer reveals our Lord's spiritual priorities, glorifying the Father, the unity of the church, the sanctity of the church, and the winning of a lost world. Are these priorities in your life? Well, it also reveals the gifts he has given his people, that is, eternal life, the Word, and his glory. But note that believers are the Father's gift to him, just as Jesus is the Father's love gift to us. I mean, it's all about grace. The word world appears 19 times in this prayer. But this prayer tells us how to overcome the world. We must seek God's glory first. Experience his joy. Be sanctified by the word. Seek to win the lost. And encourage the unity of God's people. And with that, let's begin reading today in the New Testament. May 28th, John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you, for you have given him authority over everyone in all the earth. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do. And now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have told these men about you. They were in the world, but then you gave them to me. Actually, they were always yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the words you gave me, and they accepted them and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. And all of them, since they are mine, belong to you, and you have given them back to me, so they are my glory. Now I am departing the world. I am leaving them behind and coming to you. Holy Father, keep them and care for them, all those you have given me, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I have kept them safe. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. And now I am coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They are not part of this world any more than I am. Make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. As you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself entirely to you, so they also might be entirely yours. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one. Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are, I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you've given me to be with me so they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. And I have revealed you to them and will keep on revealing you. I will do this so that your love for me may be in them and I in them. Today we're reading Psalm 119, verses 81 through 96. The Word of God will help you get victory over your enemies, as we shall see as we read in the book of Psalm today. When your eyes are failing and your soul is fainting, the Word will give you strength and comfort. When it looks like the end has come, God's Word helps you make a new beginning. Your worst enemy is on the inside, so let the Word work in your heart. Now, if you trust God's Word, you'll have a solid foundation in a world that offers you no stability. The Word of God is settled. Nothing can change it or destroy it. God is faithful, and His Word can be trusted. The same Word that created the world and runs the world will also govern your life and make it secure. Psalm 119, verses 81 through 96. I faint with longing for your salvation, but I put my hope in your word. My eyes are straining to see your promises come true. When will you comfort me? I am shriveled like a wineskin in the smoke, exhausted with waiting. But I cling to your principles and obey them. How long must I wait? When will you punish those who persecute me? These arrogant people who hate your law have dug deep pits for me to fall into. All your commands are trustworthy. Protect me from those who hunt me down without cause. They almost finished me off, but I refused to abandon your commandments. In your unfailing love, spare my life. Then I can continue to obey your decrees. Forever, O Lord, your word stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. Your laws remain true today. For everything serves your plans. If your law hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. I will never forget your commandments, for you have used them to restore my joy and health. I am yours. Save me, for I have applied myself to obey your commandments. Though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your decrees. Even perfection has its limits, but your commands have no limit. Proverbs 16, verses 6 and 7. Unfailing love and faithfulness cover sin. Evil is avoided by fear of the Lord. When the ways of people please the Lord, He makes even their enemies live at peace with them.